Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
If there's anyone here at all, make yourselves known. Pie.
Pie?
Pie.
This is the Extra Hot Grape Podcast, episode 165 for the week of July 31st, 2017. I am Haunted End of Day Donut Selection David T. Cole, and I'm here with Cold Patch Sarah D. Bunting.
This hallway sucks.
Ghoul Hunting Grinder Tara Ariano.
Stuart can't help me now.
And Bigfooted Dan Patrick Brady.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Extra Hot Great. This week, we are joined for our discussion of the low files by my husband, Dan Patrick Brady. Hi, Dan.
Hi, honey.
Yay!
Gross. Yeah, God. So insert double date gross jokes here. Dan was invited at last to join our panel because we are discussing the low files in which Rob Lowe and, as my esteemed colleague Tara Ariano put it, the Kmart versions of him go on adventures to find things like wood apes and alien underwater installations and shit. Anyway, the screener we got was not about Bigfoot, but Dan endured it anyway. I liked the family dynamic amongst all of them and how Rob Lowe was like, well, we're getting out of the clutches of the women folk for the weekend. Ha, ha, ha. Dad joke, dad joke. And the sons are like, leave us out of the clutches conversation. This is on camera. I'm not trying to hear about that. Also, Matthew's total flat affect in the clip that we just heard was pretty great, that he's like, is anyone here? Okay. Mm-hmm. Did everyone else like the vibe of the three of them?
Yeah, I thought they were very they seem like they get along like real fathers and sons. Like, it's not like some of these reality shows about celebrities where it seems like they only met their kids like the previous day or something. Like,
yeah,
they seem like they spend a lot of good quality time together, and that Rob Lowe was like daddishly excited to do this with his kids because he likes them, which is nice.
Yes, I agree. And I just wish that they were doing stuff that was more interesting, like that they were doing more in search of unsolved mysteries stuff that is not necessarily about, it just seems like it's going to be a lot of aliens, like low, right? Alien historians say yes. Like,
no, well, let's talk about this episode that we got the screener for. This is the series premiere, which, as you listen to this, it will air tonight on A&E, I believe at 10 p.m. Eastern, but check your local listings. It's about them going to a haunted former boys reformatory in the Twin Cities. And I was curious what you thought about this, Sarah, because I know you're a ghost. I mean, fan is a weird way to put this, but you're ghost conversant. This is, yes, your area. So what were your thoughts on what they do when they get into this building? And they have a daylight tour of it with someone who, you know, is like a docent or whatever. He had a name tag on, and then, yeah, come back at night with all their gear and a shaman to investigate further. So Sarah, take it away.
I felt like they had sort of all the right stuff that goes with this kind of show, like, supernatural mysteries or whatever, that they had all the gear and they did a good job explaining, like, I just felt a cold patch. That's a universal sign of a, you know, haunt's presence. But unfortunately, the way that they showed things that were supposed to be like determinative for haunting, there, it could have been any explanation, like that ball just moved. Like, it's an old building. The balls move in our house all the time. That's what she said.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah. Move your balls away from me. you know, the floors are not even. There was no explanation of what those light things did.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
So, like, the fact that it was changing color based on a request from one of the Lowe's is, like, meaningless because there was no context for it. The box that kept spitting out words, like, the captions tell us what the words are. Otherwise, they all kind of sound like someone belching into a hot mic. Mm-hmm. And it could have, someone, I think John Owen made a joke that it could have just been programmed to bleat out nouns at various times. And we, again, have no context for whether or not that's true or possible. Like, you have to have that, like, 2 or 3 minute setup where you show us the equipment and you're like, this is what this does. And this is what the responses are. Like, it doesn't mean it's not still ginned up for TV.
Right.
But it was just a little like, this show is going to rely almost completely on their chemistry as a family. Mm-hmm. And Matthew and John Owen eye rolling a lot of stuff, which fortunately they're good at, but I'm not sure that's quite enough for an hour long show that really seems sincerely to be trying to solve these mysteries. I will be watching the Bigfoot episode hashtag marriage. Dan, why don't you talk a little bit about what you expect from this and whether you're hopeful for it compared with other Bigfoot Tiana that you have watched, which is all of it. Take it away.
I expect it will end up being totally inconclusive with no proof of Bigfoot whatsoever. I mean, let's be honest. But I think it will be fun. I mean, to me, the value of this show is a really nice trip of a father and his sons. And they do get along well. They do have a relationship together that seems honest and true. And in that aspect, I enjoyed it. I would like Rob Lowe to be my dad. Kind of cool. You know?
That would be a neat trick.
Yeah, well, true. I mean, when they go in search of Bigfoot, it will not be as stupid as finding Bigfoot.
What about $10 gazillion Bigfoot bounty?
Right. It won't be as ridiculous as all of that and everything. And I think I read something that in one of the shows, they actually claimed that they did see an ape-like creature.
I had a question about that for you, Dan.
So did I.
An expert on Bigfoot, which we're now saying for the purposes of this podcast, you are. What yes. What is the difference?
Compared to everyone else here, sure.
Right. In the opening credits, we got flashes of some of what the later episodes will be. And as we've sort of like talked around, every episode has a different focus. This one was obviously a haunted location. Further ones will be Bigfoot. And then they also said wood ape, like that was a different episode. What is the difference between wood ape and Bigfoot, please?
I think it's just a geographical description of legend of their particular Bigfoot, their particular Yeti, their particular, you know, large gorilla-like creature that happens to live in their neck of the woods.
Okay.
You know? So people go, that's a wood ape. That's a skunk ape, you know. And but it's all supposedly the same thing. And what it is really some guy who got lost a long time ago in the woods. And still has to find his way out. And that's pretty much it.
Or possibly someone genetically enhanced if the Venture Brothers episode is accurate. Dave, what did you think? You've been strangely silent for this whole discussion.
I've been searching for Bigfoot. it looks like Bigfoot is a wood ape. So I think wood ape is sort of the generic and Bigfoot is regional, I think. I think that's the hierarchy. According to woodape.org.
Got it.
I'm not done.
.org, no less.
Yeah, it's the North. Okay, it's NAWAC. NAWAC, North American Wood Ape Conservancy.
Oh, conservancy.
Conservancy. Ooh.
That's adorable.
I would have guessed
when you started to say that word, I thought you were going to say consortium, which I also would have accepted.
We are gross.
To investigate and conduct research regarding the existence of unlisted primate species we refer to as the wood ape, also known as the Sasquatch or Bigfoot.
Got it.
Bloody, bloody, bloody.
I had a follow-up question for Dave, much along the same lines as the one that we just addressed to Dan, which is compared to ancient alien theorists, do you think the low take on alien underwater compounds will be as stupid as, stupider than, or less stupid than ancient aliens?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, we have yet to watch any of the alien-ish ones. All the Lows are supernatural versions.
Yep.
And all these other shows are people that have bought fully into the, you know, whatever they're talking about, whether it be aliens, Big Feet, or what have you, the Mothmen's. So I'm going to guess it's going to be, you know, just a different vibe. I don't think you can really compare the two. They're very different animals.
I was a little disappointed that they aren't doing a DB Cooper episode.
Yeah, but that's not supernatural.
That's not supernatural, though.
Isn't it? Ancient alien theorists say maybe.
This show needs to lose one of the sons and then gain a crazy uncle, like Rob Lowe's crazy 70-year-old, you know, conspiracy uncle that I just made up that should exist.
Just replace one of the sons with the shaman, because he was very good on camera.
The show needs somebody. It needs this Mulder.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that. And it's sort of like a little, you know, like the shaman's there, but he's not really part of the group. He's not part of the dynamic that much.
Yeah.
And the shaman also has a wicked nicotine beard stain. Like, whoa. Like, I must smoke all the time off camera.
So you guys all like the shaman?
He was neither here nor there for me.
I like that he's like side friends with the wife, and the wife is texting him like, don't let them get eaten by a ghost or whatever the fuck. Like, now there's an episode that I would watch.
I thought his best moment was when they were directed by the ghost outside, and they were starting to do some kind of like cleansing ritual because they thought one of the words that was said by the talking box was cleansing. And then he started to do his like baloney with his bottle of, you know, magic powder or whatever. And then the box goes Bible, like you're like a person on the phone being like, agent, like, whatever you're doing, stop. So he immediately was like, okay, like just switched over to doing a, like crossed himself and did a prayer. I thought that was funny.
Press two for a Christian service.
Totally.
Right. You know what they needed for this show that really would have like brought it over the top is they needed to do for the history stuff that, you know, is in between the introduction and the actual, you know, night vision stuff where they're just talking about the case. That needed all to be reenacted by all Rob Lowe in every role.
Totally agree.
He would have played Anna, the murder victim. He would have played the murderer. He would have played the orderly. He would have played everything.
A little boy in knee pants bouncing a ball and rolling a hoop.
Oh, my God.
Like, this is basic. Like, if you got Rob Lowe in your stable, if you got the low files come into your network, how do you not do that? How is, and then that is your promo. And
no,
like,
you're
Rob Lowe
so right.
seems like he'd be up for it.
Totally. Yeah.
True.
I hear his Bigfoot is good.
Maybe that's a note that they took later in the season, and we'll get to see it.
Got a lot of practice walking around on the West Wing, so he's probably got big
true. So you guys are going to keep watching?
For sure. I wanted to say one more thing about this episode, which as I started to tell Dave when we were watching it, one of the places where I went to band camp hold for giggles when I lived in Saskatchewan was called Fort Sand, and it had turned into resort, but it formerly was a like a TB hospital at the turn of the last century. And so our dorm, like there was a door at the, like right where you come in, and we knew it went down to the basement where for some reason, even though this was in like the 1980s, all of the files from when it was a tuberculosis hospital were still there, which I know because some days that door was not open. And of course, when you get a bunch of teenage girls or tweenage when we would always sneak down and like just pull files at random and read them and like spook each other out, even though it was the middle of the day, by being like, and then she died. Like they all died. It was tuberculosis hospital. But that all came back to me like going. I would never go into a building like the one that they went into at night because it was fucking creepy. And I don't even believe in ghosts. I'm not scared of ghosts, but that was some creepy, creepy shit.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
Okay.
I think the show is very likable. It's just one of those, it's just going to be one of those for me that's like peak TV casualty. Like,
sure.
I'm not mad at the show at all, but B plus is not going to cut it. Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I have to watch the Bigfoot one because I have to, I'm required by you guys to watch any and all Bigfoot material.
Yep. I'll keep watching it. I was really charmed by it, even though I thought John Owen was like trying a little hard to get discovered in the way that Dr. Phil's older son, who never really happened, even though they tried for a while, whatever that son's name was. He was like that for me in kind of a grating way. But I do like the dynamic between father and son, and I look forward to seeing them interact with more regular townspeople. And the fact that we got a coda at the end about Rob Lowe's visit to that shitty donut shop.
That was great. That was the highlight of the whole thing, because when he walked in the first time, there were no freaking donuts.
And no!
Look at that. Look at that. I'm very disappointed. Mm-hmm. When they go to the news clip, it's mm-hmm. filled with donuts.
Yeah, that was the most supernatural thing, I think.
Extremely yes. telegenic donuts as well. Although, as noted in the news report, he did go at like 2 in the afternoon. What yeah. does the guy expect? Come on.
Good note to end on.
All right. Yeah.
The dough files.
You know, who would have thought years ago our lead topic would have been Rob Lowe's supernatural adventure show? But here we are. What a world. It is time to go around the dial. Everybody's going to talk about a little something they're watching on TV these days. First up, Tara Ariano.
Well, I have a few things. First, I remember the older McGraw son's name. It is Jay. And he published a couple of books for teens and had a talk show, I think, for a while. And
I thought he was the one who did happen.
There's the younger one, I think. Who cares?
There's the one that lives in the crawl space.
Agree.
The she fish heads too.
Yes. Yeah. Follow up to our Forsening episode last week. Fucking Stephanie Green, you bitch. I have now watched 5 more episodes of Married by Mom and Dad. I watched 3 episodes back-to-back-to-back on Sunday night because I'm watching them on demand on DirecTV, and they just like roll over like watching on Netflix. There's no like choice involved, or so I told myself at the end of it when I felt drunk.
Hey, can I slide in some follow-up about that episode?
Please.
Here? Mm-hmm. So on the episode, I had mentioned something about Republic of Doyle and Murdoch Mysteries.
Oh,
I
thought
I had in my head that they're in the same universe, but that they're like, that's like, couldn't be possible because one's
that
present
was confirmed
day,
no
it was they are. And then in the show each of the leads plays their ancestor descendant in the other episode.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so
Canada. But what I mainly wanted to talk about, because Married by Mom and Dad is fucking terrible, that when that Devin, who I mostly talked about in our Forcing episode last week, when he gets married, 2 of his groomsmen are fully like chewing gum on the altar during his marriage, his wedding. And in his vows, he mentions that he's giving up on all the other hoes. The word hoes is in his marriage vows. So there's a better harbinger of success in a marriage. I don't know what it is, but what I actually want to talk about is Insecure, which is just started its second season on HBO. Episode 2 aired this most recent Sunday. It's so good. It's really, last year we got a wealth of shows created by and starring really smart, funny, interesting people with a very extremely specific point of view, and I would say those are Better Things in Atlanta on FX and Insecure on HBO. Every moment feels so true. It's a story of Issa, played by Issa Rae, although it's like only kind of a autobiographical story. It's not like a Louis. She's not playing someone who's a writer or aspiring writer. She's works at an after school tutoring program. And in this season, she's getting over having broken up with her boyfriend in season 1. And so the premiere opened with this great montage of her on a bunch of different Tinder dates, like answering all the same questions in order, and how stultifying it is, and how it breaks into her imaginary rap of what she'd like to tell these guys. And it's brilliant. And so the 2 episodes that have aired so far have both been so good and well observed. Really great stuff with her friend group, who are hilarious and used very well, especially Molly, her best friend. And it looks like in the next episode, Issa asks her, "Can you teach me how to hoe?" Because she's decided to give up on Lawrence and just go full Tinder. Full Tinder, I guess, is the end of that phrase. Molly goes rude, and then she says yes, which is great. So if you are a woman, know a woman, have ever lived in Los Angeles, have ever been single, have ever been in a relationship, if you are a person, watch Insecure. I guarantee you won't regret it. There has not been a false moment in any of the episodes I've seen. And all of season one, of course, is on HBO Go too. It is great. And just a warning to the rest of my panelists, I'm trying to figure out which episode I'm going to prepare for the next time I have to do a canon, because it's good and it deserves to be in it. And for my plug, Bride and Doom, the Married at First Sight podcast that I do with Brian Rubenstein, is wrapping up this week. Thursday is the reunion episode where we get to get back together with all the couples and see who's still married. So check that out for the very last time for season five. And if you want to piggyback on this, Sarah D. Bunting, I believe you have some Bride and Doom related commentary that is relevant to your life at this moment.
I do. We are fostering a small cat. Her name is Lou. I have mentioned before that our other small gray cat, Mabel, very much enjoys Bride and Doom. We think the common thread is Auntie Tara's voice, because she also likes Show and Yell. But I was listening to Bride and Doom in Lou's room the other day, and she fell asleep and was purring. So I think that little gray cats really love this show. I would plug the fact that Lou is a foster cat and needs a forever home. But the fact is, we've already fallen in love with her, and I'm not totally sure that I want her to leave.
Twist.
So we are not going to do that today, but we will get back into it later. For now, we can move on today.
Next up, Dan.
I guess for Around the Dial, I would just say that I am watching the news.
Why?
I just, I don't know. Seems to be kind of interesting.
Yeah, we're like in a throuple with Rachel Maddow right now, which I'm not complaining. I'm into it. But yeah, like the MSNBC personalities, I'm like, oh, Lawrence got a haircut. It's bad. He's watching a lot of news. But
I was going to ask if you have favorite shows, obviously Maddow and Lawrence, but are there others that are your particular go-tos?
What's his name? Who got tossed off NBC for lying? What?
Brian Williams.
Yeah, Brian Williams. He's actually, I mean, I usually go to bed right after that more or less begins, but I wait to see what he has to say, because it's basically this, like all 24-hour news programs, it's the same damn show, one after the other, with a slight different twist on it. But he is a great summation at the beginning of his show of what all has happened that day.
Yeah, I like about him that he has nothing left to lose, so he's willing to be totally snarky and just like literally rolling his eyes all the way back in his head, because it's like it's 11 o'clock and he's Brian Williams and he's already been disgraced, so why the F not, right? So
I love the idea of the end of the road being a nightly show on MSNBC.
I had several things to plug, but I'm just going to go ahead and say, because this is my life, is that I work in real estate. I only bring it up because I will be mentioning it in one of the minis later on. It's very important, so please pay attention to that.
Cliffhanger.
Yes. Ooh. So if anybody actually needs any real estate thing done in New York City, look me up on Google and Dan Brady at the Corcoran Group. Call me. I'm one of the few honest people that I've met in a decade of doing this business, and I'll be glad to help you.
Sarah D. Bunting.
You know who could probably not be Bigfoot, but has probably contemplated taking Bigfoot nationwide as a franchise? Marcus Lemonis. I am catching up on The Prophet, finally. We're in like the back half of season four. I don't really know why they split it up, since they'd already aired 12 episodes, which for a cable network is like, that's a season, just call it season five. But the first half of season four was really starting to feel a little bit like more classic reality, and not in a good way. Like certain scenes seemed like retakes. It was a little hard to see why Marcus was investing in certain businesses and or not screaming and people's faces for being dinks. So, and then he went to Cuba and it was all just kind of like, you know, it's great that Americans can go to Cuba now, but it was just kind of a PSA and not great. And so I took a break from it when it came back. Like I did a Tinder questions at our site at previously.tv about the season premiere, which seemed to be a return to form. And then I took a break from it. My friend, Lori Harfinist, mentioned that it's really been an improvement over the first half of the season. So I checked out a couple episodes recently and they are very good. They're on Hulu. And he's going to be on, well, I'll get to that in my plug. He's going to do a marijuana dispensary, I guess, in next week's episode.
Yeah.
We got a screener. I'm definitely going to watch that one. Mark and Bake into it. I can't wait to see that. And my plug, I have a twofold plug. One is that you should all listen to Show and Yell, which is Tara and Joe Reed's podcast about Hollywood Game Night. He's going to be on it this coming week.
August 15th is when the show is off until the 15th. It's moving to its new time slot on Tuesday, so we will have a podcast right after that airs.
I forgot that jam up. Anyway, he's he may still be baked, but oh no, it was filmed like 5 years ago. My mistake. He's going to be coming at you on the NBC airwaves, and I'm looking forward to actually watching the show instead of just enjoying it through the lens of Tara and Joe. And if you have a little gray cat, you should have him or her listen to the podcast too, because apparently they really love it. My actual plug is that we have many too many homeless, like teenage kittens and babies having babies out there on the streets of New York and probably in your city. So as our friend Bob Barker would have said, spay and neuter your pets, be responsible pet owners. It's important. This is how I end up with three cats that no one else wanted. Also, I have a very tolerant husband.
What if Hollywood put an X-File on the silver screen?
Who do you see playing you in the movie?
How about Richard Gere?
With Gary Shandling as Mulder and Taya Leone as Scully.
Mulder!
Written and directed by David Duchovny.
You cigarette-smoking mackerel snapper.
The X-Files, all new at 9, 8 Central, Fox Sunday.
Oh, Jesus.
It is time for the canon. Dan is submitting this week. Take it away, Dan.
Hi, everyone. When Sarah mentioned that I would be doing something called the canon, she brought up, what's your favorite episode of all time? One episode immediately clicked in my brain.
The Office, Season 6, Episodes 4 and 5, titled Niagara.
First of all, about the show, the reason I love the show, mockumentaries are incredibly difficult. I remember seeing what I considered sort of the first one, Spinal Tap, and I didn't see anybody else do a really good one until this show came along. I was very angry when I heard that Americans were doing it because I thought that they would totally destroy that, and they made it into their own. Having been an actor for 30-something years, I know that that's incredibly difficult. It has humor, it has heart, and this particular episode is just the culmination of all of those qualities that I loved about the show.
I'm sorry, you guys have probably noticed my stomach's a little more sensitive lately. So if you wouldn't mind wearing a little less perfume, and if your lunch is especially pungent, maybe have it in the break room.
We would really appreciate it.
Pam is constantly throwing up because of the pregnancy. If she eats something the fetus doesn't like, she is screwed. It's amazing. A 3-ounce fetus is calling the shots. It's so badass.
Phyllis? If you could switch to a different soap just for a month or two, yours is kind of perfumey.
Now this is getting ridiculous.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I guess I missed the meeting where we all voted for you to get pregnant. No, I reserve the right to peel my hard-boiled eggs at my desk.
All morning I look forward to my afternoon cigars, and I am not stopping for anybody.
I don't think I'm asking for too much. I guess it's just the end of courtesy in the workplace.
At this point, Dwight is peeling an egg. And she just threw up in a basket.
Watching people get sick always makes me sick. And frankly, so does talking about it. So, wow.
Damn you, Dan.
I did wonder while we were watching this, like, are they in a fight? Because this is really one of your triggers, Sarah.
It really is. And that will be in the show notes. Not to
worry. Very good.
But there's a classic, like, to Dan's point, there's in the back of the shot, which of course you can't see because this is not a video cast, this guy just eating noodles, totally unconcerned in the background while everyone is
barfing.
People
are vomiting all around him and he's just eating away. And it's totally in character with that guy.
Yeah, Creed doesn't care.
But I think just the fact, first of all, just the fact that a show has about 5 minutes of vomiting at the beginning of it. I mean, already it's got my vote as one of the best shows of all time.
Hey, what is the deal with the smart car? How smart is that? Those things are tiny. Can you even drive them in traffic?
I'm so smart. E equals MC squared. I drive a smart car. That's not smart in my book. The real smart car is Kit from Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
That's a car that can talk. Can smart car talk? Nope, no. That's not smart.
I called for that
Take
clip.
Take away, Sarah.
I just thought it was so funny that, like, I always thought of Michael Scott as more of an Airwolf guy. Like, but it has two of my great loves, smart cars and Kit, in there. Anyway, sorry to hijack the discussion. Carry on, Dan.
That's just perfect. Again, just totally in character. Followed by this little snip, which is done sotto voce and just illustrates everyone's intent in life.
I think it was a little touch and go at first, but we saved it, I believe.
I can't believe it was me.
I know, I can't believe it was you either. I actually think it takes a lot of pressure off of me.
Is there something about being a manager that makes you say stupid things?
I have not found that to be the case.
Hey, smooth guys.
I'm so sorry.
Can you believe it? He screwed up, not me.
What they did was they let out that Pam is pregnant after making this big thing about they are not going to tell anyone that she is pregnant because Meemaw, the grandmother, is going to get upset. Everyone expects Michael to do it. And Jim is actually the one who does it. And then Michael's reaction is, thank God it's not me. Absolutely perfect. Jim and Pam, after all the insanity, look at each other and run off. And they get married on a boat, leave everyone stranded at the church for an hour, then show back up and actually go through the wedding, and more shenanigans occur. Afterward, Jim says this.
I bought those boat tickets the day I saw that YouTube video. I knew we'd need a backup plan. The boat was actually plan C. The church was plan B. And plan A was marrying her a long, long time ago. Pretty much the day I met her.
Aw.
And right after that moment, there is just a shot back on the boat of the two of them standing there looking out over the river. It's probably 15 seconds long, and the camera kind of swings around, and you just see her head is buried into his shoulder, and he just looks at the camera and just smiles. And that's the kind of true, honest, touching stuff that a mature program really can pull off. It's just taking a breath with the audience, and I absolutely adored that. And then you get to the final moment, which is one of the periphery characters of the show. His name is Kevin, and it ends with him coming back from the wedding. He's lost his shoes. He's wearing boxes, Kleenex boxes on his feet, and he's walking into the hotel.
What an awesome party. The best wedding I've ever been to. I got 6 numbers. One more would have been a complete telephone number. This was epic. My Kleenex shoes were a huge conversation piece, but man, my dogs are barking.
So now he's sticking them into ice.
In the ice machine.
My feet were so sweaty, I can't even feel the cold.
Is that brilliant or what?
You'll never look at ice machines the same way again.
No.
Wiener Hotel. I mean, I certainly have always been suspicious of them.
I hadn't.
As much
past
as I
tense.
Kind of want to threaten divorce for my spouse putting me through a like barf round robin as part of a canon presentation. I think that this is, we've considered some offices for canon and Nonak before, but I was surprised that we hadn't had a canon submission for this since Mark One, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, apparently.
And this is like the Nonak one was like some sort of dance party club thing that they we're using an empty room for.
Oh, and yeah. Cafe Disco. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole spirit and tone of that episode is like everything that that shoots for and misses, I think this episode shoots for and gets. I think it's a very good balance of heart that Dan talked about, but also humor and perfect character moments that have been building for years and years. And that moment of them being on the Maid of the Mist, and he just sort of looks at the camera like, finally. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan. I didn't watch this show when it was on, and I have often not been a huge fan of that actor whose name I always get wrong. It's not Krakowski. It's
John Krasinski.
Thank you. Yeah. But this was a really, Dan described it to me as when he announced his pick to me as the most fun he's had in an hour of television probably ever. And I said, well, then that's perfect. Like, part of submitting to the canon is you got to believe in it. And it really was a fun hour of television for the people in it and making it, I think, as well as for me. That dance montage was like way too much and went on too long, but was also perfectly sweet and tonally great. And the fact that they didn't let the Kleenex box shoe bit drop for like 40 minutes was amazing. He also had a hair piece. And then there's a whole thing where, like, right after that, we cut down the hall to Michael going off with Pam's mother.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. There's just really a lot. And it's wonderful. And great submission, Dan.
Yeah.
And thank you for letting me steal a clip. Tara.
I agree. This is a sweet one. As I knew I was going to cry again, even though I've watched the dance montage intercut with the actually getting pre-married on the boat montage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've watched it so many times and it still gets me still. That song, even though I know we all hate Chris Brown and with good reason, like, that song is good. Sorry.
It is. And when they get the captain, I was like, oh.
I know. Yeah, it all really works. And the lead up to that is good too. When she's, you know, distressed because none of this is how she wanted it. Like, you know, she's pregnant accidentally. And so they sort of had to rush their marriage plans. And she's been kind of self-conscious about that through the season. But then she snags her veil and she's despondent over that, even though she knows it's ridiculous and everything is ruined. And then Jim like just picks up a pair of scissors and cuts his tie, like, don't care. Like, it's a great moment of solidarity, and there it doesn't get fixed. I forgot that part.
Yeah.
That even when at the actual wedding, like, that's still his tie, yet like he did it. That's his move. Good move. And the fact that, you know, he's the one that is the teller of the secret and ruins everything for Mima, like, as soon as you hear, we're not telling my grandmother that I'm pregnant, like, you know, someone is gonna tell her, but you assume it's Michael, and for once, yeah, it's not. Like, that surprise is a really good choice and pays off really well. It's a lovely episode. It was so much fun to watch it again. So thank you, Dan. Great presentation. Dave.
Jim and Pam are real assholes.
Here we go.
As you heard in that one clip where she's going on about what you can eat and what you can't eat. And I know that, or I assume that the writing staff took pains to sort of not just make them this saccharine couple. And I admire them for sort of painting them with flaws. But that said, by this point in the series, I disliked both of these characters so much that I didn't care about anything else in the episode that happened to them that made them happy.
Crusty old Mr. Cole strikes
Hang
again.
I'm not done.
Team Desk Egg. Got it.
I did not know what the hell they were parroting in that YouTube thing, and I still don't. And that is not going to age well at all. The Jim and Pam part of this episode, I just could not get into. The Maid of the Mist stuff didn't get to me. I will say, however, that the captain, I don't know anything about him, the actor, but that is the most French Canadian guy ever to appear
yeah,
on NBC.
Agree.
I always kind of like it when Kevin got a little bit of a bump, you know, as far as his exposure goes. I really like the Synchronicity storyline where he was Scranton's number one Police cover band frontman or drummer, whatever it was. You know, it's always nice when a character gets a moment, his pained efforts to really like kick it up a notch, Kevin Wise, and, you know, with the hair piece and then everything kind of running afoul, and the Kleenex box gag was great. You're right. I mean, to close that loop so far after they opened it was kind of fun. But the heart of this is Jim and Pam. Jim and Pam can go suck several eggs. So that emotional core that you guys are talking about that you like so much just wasn't there for me, and never really was with Jim and Pam. I did not root for Jim and Pam the way I root for Tim and Don in the UK version.
We got it. Stop hitting. They're already dead.
The enemy of love and joy, Roger.
Don't sugarcoat it, Dave.
All right. So let's put this to a vote. Sarah Bunting.
I vote yay.
Tara Ariano.
Yeah, me too. Yay.
I vote nay, but that doesn't matter because that's two against one. So that means The Office, Season 6, Episode 4 and 5, Niagara, you are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It is time for Winner and Loser of the Week. Tara has her winner.
Winner is Ike Barinholtz for a variety of reasons. First, the day that Anthony Scaramucci, RIP, was announced as the new White House head of communications, he tweeted, "Anthony Scaramucci looks like an extra in The Wolf of Wall Street that they had to fire because he kept trying to talk to Leo, which turned out to be very close to reality. He apparently paid $100,000 to be in Wall Street 2 for 15 seconds, so not bad." But also, in addition to his soothsaying capacities, he, also, this is the bad part. He broke his neck doing a stunt in a movie called The Pact, but, they wrote it into the final season of The Mindy Project. And so he still can, thank God, Morgan will not be leaving us. He will be in the final season of The Mindy Project. And, there are certainly a variety of ways that Morgan could break his neck, like tripping over a dog for one or tripping over five dogs for another. Glad that Ike will still be around. He's certainly my favorite character on that show at this point, and my favorite actor in just about anything he is in. So yay, Ike Barinholtz.
And who is our loser of the week?
Our loser, speaking of the mooch, is yes, Mario Cantone, who barely had time to like even call into a radio show about the fact that he was going to be on the president show as Anthony Scaramucci before Anthony Scaramucci and a box of his, I don't even know, Breathe Right strips were escorted to the edge of 1600 Pennsylvania. It's really too bad. I feel like Mario Cantone was always like, just has been like underused in life. Like, I get that a little of him goes a long way, but I think this is one opportunity that he could have totally maximized. And he's actually really smart about acting and comedy. And it's just kind of too bad that he was going to climb out of the Sex and the City 2 hole finally. And now he's back and now he's gone. Oh, well.
Speaking of maximizing opportunities, do you know what time it is?
Time to trip over a puppy.
Close. It's non-regulation gay time. This is a non-regulation game time. This game is called Our Idiot Brothers. I'll read you a description from the perspective of a TV character about his or her brother. You tell me who that brother is. Now, there's a potential here for 3 points per turn. Ooh. 1 point for identifying the brother, one for identifying the show, and one for identifying the speaker. And if you need a hint, I'll give you the name of either the show or the speaker, but then you lose pointertunities, and the most points you can get is 1 point.
Gotcha.
So for the purpose of this game, idiot might mean an actual stupid person, but it might just be a buffoon or a fuck up. In some cases, the idiot brother has more than one sibling, and I'll accept any sibling for that point unless the speaker's description can really only come from one of them. And there's only one possible point for naming the or a speaker, regardless of how many siblings the idiot has. So, for instance, if the answer were Prue Hollowell, if this were a sister game, you only need to say one of them. You don't get extra points for saying all of her sisters.
Gotcha.
So here's an example. If my idiot brother doesn't quit murdering murderers, it's eventually going to affect my career as a detective.
Beep, beep, beep. That is Dexter Morgan. And yes. The speaker is Deb Morgan. And the show is Dexter.
Correct.
Fucking Deb.
Correct. There are 30 questions and a tiebreaker. Oops.
We will start with David.
We will start with David, then Dan, then Sarah. Are you ready to play our idiot brother?
Yes.
Yes.
Dave, my idiot brother keeps interfering in my law practice, even though he's not actually a lawyer. He just played one on TV.
The show's The Grinder.
Yep.
And the idiot brother is Mitch? No, I don't know any of the names. That's it.
The brother is Dean. Mitch was his character on The Grinder. Okay. The show is The Grinder, and the sibling is Stuart. So,
but I got a point.
Oh, yeah, sure. Get 1 point. Dan, my idiot brother is lucky he's attractive. Giving up his headlining role in a sitcom to be in a play is a weird career move. Oops, sorry. You haven't said anything yet. That was just me switching over to the sample.
No, actually, you've timed that just perfectly because I had no clue.
You can ask for a hint. You can ask, would it help to know the show or the speaker? Alrighty.
He does not watch this. It will not help.
Okay. The brother is Kevin. The show is This Is Us. And the speaker is either Randall or Kate. Sarah D. Bunting.
Yes.
My idiot brother got himself incarcerated, but it's fine. I've got a plan to bust him out and a lot of tattoos.
My idiot brother. Okay, the show is Prison Break, and why can't I remember? Okay, the brother is, the speaker is Lincoln, and the brother is Blue Steel. God, why can't I remember his name? I can't remember the actor's name. I don't remember his name.
All right,
John.
You get 1 point for the 1 point for the show. You're correct. Yay. It is Prison Break, but the guy with the tattoos is Michael.
Right,
that's the speaker.
Right.
So the brother was Lincoln. I don't know which my idiot brother is going to wear out first: his costume of a fast food menu item or the fart sound effect key on his electronic keyboard.
Oh, okay. Show is Bob's Burgers. Can you read that again?
I don't know which my idiot brother is going to wear out first: his costume of a fast food menu item or the fart sound effect key on his electronic keyboard.
All right. So the idiot brother is Gene Belcher. And I got to assume this is Louise Belcher speaking.
I would have accepted either of his siblings. So very good. Well done.
But she's the more caustic of the two.
Yep. So 3 points is what you get for that. Dan, picky. Let's see how much you've picked up by osmosis from living with Sarah. My idiot brother is so busy saving the world by yelling at it that I moved to England to escape him.
Come on, honey.
Bigfoot?
No. The brother is Brandon. The show is Beverly Hills 90210. And the sibling is Brenda. Sarah.
Yeah.
My idiot brother will eventually run out of chances to solve his problems by tossing his luxurious hair or dropping a well-timed whoa.
Is this Blossom? Okay, the brother is Joey?
Yes.
And the speaker is, I don't know who the speaker is, Six? Don't know.
Get 2 points for that. Blossom was his sister.
Oh, okay. Never watched it. Didn't know. Glad I got 2 points. Yay.
Or Anthony, the other brother, played by Michael Stoyanov from Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, yeah.
Back to Dave. My idiot brother lost a hand, but I just can't stop fucking him.
All right. That show is Game of Thrones. The brother is Jamie. And the speaker is Cersei.
Correct. For 3 points.
Gross.
Dan. My idiot brother progressed from short cons to practicing law, though he won't be doing that much longer if I get my way.
Got this.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that we've watched on the channel, but that's about as far as I'm going to get in terms of specifics.
You know this.
It's a show you watch, I happen to know for a fact.
Can you read it again?
My idiot brother progressed from short cons to practicing law, though he won't be doing that much longer if I get my way.
I swear to God, you know this.
Bigfoot?
Man! Sarah, do you want to educate your husband?
The show is Better Call Saul. The idiot brother is Jimmy / Saul later, and the speaker is Chuck.
Over to you, Sarah.
Fine.
Sarah, my idiot brother has everything he could want since our family took him in, but he can't help bringing his Chino manners to every fancy party and punching someone out.
Oh, boy. Okay, the show is The OC. The idiot brother is... I'm not sure if character names this far down that road, but let's just guess. The brother's name, the idiot brother is Ryan. And the speaker is Seth.
Yeah. Oh. Nicely done.
Osmosis. Okay.
Let us get a score break.
All right. In third place, it's Dan with no points.
All right.
Sarah in second place with 6 points, and I'm in the lead with just one more at 7.
Ooh. All right, moving on. Back to Dave. My idiot brother doesn't do well at school, and yet our psychiatrist father doesn't seem to think there might be deeper psychological issues at play.
Hmm. Father is... Nope, don't know.
Do you need a hint? Would you like a hint?
Oh, right, hint. So what are my options again?
You can ask for the show or the speaker.
I guess this do show.
Growing Pains.
Oh, Jesus. nope, don't know any of the characters' names. Not Growing Pains.
Show's Growing Pains, brother is Mike, sibling is Carol, Ben, or Chrissy. Nope. Good old Chrissy. Okay, over to Dan.
Yes.
My idiot brother lost the best woman he ever dated because his defense for screwing another woman the night they broke up is, we were on a break! Sarah, does he know this?
I don't know. Sometimes he pulls things out of...
Okay, would you like a hint?
There. Certainly, I will take a hint. I think I'll take the show, please.
The show is Friends.
Ross is the...
Hey! Good for 1 point.
Good job, honey.
And this, the speaker, of course, is Monica.
Monica. Yes, of course.
All right. Sarah D. Bunting.
Yeah.
My idiot brother trusted me to make him a knockoff Gordon Gartrell shirt, even though I am definitely not competent to make any such thing.
I'm going to kick myself for needing this, but hint.
What would you like, show or speaker?
Oh, I'm sorry. Show, please.
The Cosby Show.
I guess the idiot brother is Theo?
Correct for 1 point. The sibling
the
who
is Denise,
failed to make him a good shirt is Denise.
Right.
All right, back to Dave. I could never understand why my idiot brother kept blundering into so many situations where he didn't belong until I found out he was the Upper East Side's most devastating anonymous blogger. JK, it still makes no sense.
All right, well, that's Gossip Girl.
Correct.
The idiot brother is... Chuck?
Oh. No.
That's all I... It's the only character I know from that show.
Dan.
That bring
Dan. Dan is... Dan was Gossip Girl.
I'll take that point, though.
Yes, you will take that
for
point.
For a second, I was like, Dan is not going to know this.
The sibling, of course, was Jenny, the worst.
Of course.
My idiot brother is book smart enough to get accepted to a boarding school in New Hampshire, but too dumb to notice our parents are spies.
The Americans?
Yeah!
And I've never watched the show, so I don't know.
Okay. Good for 1 point. The brother is Henry.
So I'll say Bigfoot.
Brother is Henry. The sibling is either Paige, or if you had gotten it, there would have been 1 Tara point for identifying Misha. Who is the secret brother from the Soviet Union. Okay. Sarah. My idiot brother's decision to become an illusionist was a huge mistake, the first of many.
This is irrelevant. Arrested Development. Gob. is the idiot brother, and Michael is the speaker, I assume.
Could have been any of them, but yes, we will accept Michael or Lindsay or Buster would have also worked. David T. Cole.
Yeah.
My idiot brother needs to realize his crush on the older girl who works in our uncle's decrepit tourist trap is never going to amount to anything.
Oh, God. Read it once more.
My idiot brother needs to realize his crush on the older girl who works in our uncle's decrepit tourist trap is never going to amount to anything.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay. Gravity Falls. The brother is... Oh, I cannot remember the brother's name. The speaker is Mabel. The brother is... Why am I...
Mabel and...
Mabel and... Hang on.
Pearl?
What?
Nothing.
What?
Pearl?
Oh, my God. I'm going to kick myself. I can't pull it. Can't pull it.
Well, you still get 2 points, but what you could not pull was Dipper.
Dipper. I was thinking, in my head, I was saying Chipper, and I couldn't connect it. I was about to say Chipper, but I knew that wasn't right.
Damn it.
All right, over to Dan. My idiot brother may be a preppy dork who's never quite fit in around our very affluent LA neighborhood, but he's the only one in our family to invent a dance that bears his name.
So I'm going to, from having listened to past episodes, the answers are usually either Bigfoot or Dawson's Creek. So I think at this time I will go Dawson's Creek.
No, brother is Carlton. The show is The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And the sibling is Hillary or Ashley, or I would have also accepted Will. Okay, Sarah, debunking. Yeah. My idiot brother will never stop investigating my alien abduction, even if it ruins his career in the FBI.
Okay, this is the X-Files. The idiot brother is Fox Mulder. And, oh, God, my mind just emptied of lady names, but I think for some reason, even though they named their male kid Fox, they went with Samantha?
Hey, nice pull.
I was like, Vanessa? No, that's not right.
Very good. Okay, time for another score Drop break.
13 for Sarah, 10 for me, 2 for Dan.
All righty.
Dan!
Woo! All right.
On the board.
It's alive.
It's 2 more than I thought I'd get.
Okay, back to Dave.
Yeah.
My idiot brother is going to figure out soon that the indulgence of all his dumb decisions will end when he graduates high school and is no longer on the football team.
Friday Night Lights?
Yes.
All right. Oh, God, I don't know. Can you just read the clue again?
Sure. My idiot brother is going to figure out soon that the indulgence of all his dumb decisions will end when he graduates high school and is no longer on the football team.
Well, Chuck and Skippy.
No, the fuck up brother is Tim Riggins and his brother is Billy. Dan. If my idiot brother doesn't stop skateboarding away from all the trouble he gets himself into, I'm going to have a cow.
May I have a hint, please, of the show?
The Simpsons?
Oh! Bart?
Correct! For 1 point.
Idiot brother.
Very good.
Yay!
Oh, Picky has smiled on you this time, Sarah.
Uh-oh.
My idiot brother has disrupted our family's life so much since his murder conviction was vacated, I sometimes regret devoting my own life to getting him out.
Oh, boy. Picky mostly smiled on other people by sticking me with this one. The show is Rectify.
Yes.
The idiot brother is Daniel. And Amantha is the speaker.
Correct. For 3 points.
Whoa.
David T. Cole.
Yeah.
My idiot brother and I don't always agree, but I do share his enthusiasm for fucking ZD.
The Sopranos?
Yes.
All right. Tony?
No.
All right. And, okay, hang on. I don't know.
Okay, that was AJ. That's one of his most famous lines. What? No fucking ZD? And the siblings.
Hey! Yeah, he really is an idiot, too.
All right, this one is off model. Exciting for Dan. My idiot cousin could never hack it in paper sales like me, but he is an excellent beet farmer.
The show is The Office. Beet farmer is Dwight. And this, I have no idea who the person speaking is.
The cousin is Moe's. That's his weirdo cousin. And so the speaker is Dwight.
Ah.
All right.
Okay. Still 1 point.
Sarah.
Yes.
My idiot brother needs to accept that his acting career isn't going to materialize just because he spends most of his time hanging around me and my success.
Entourage?
Yes.
The speaker is that guy with the face, and he's talking about the lesser Dylan. I don't remember the characters. Is there a turtle involved?
There is, but not in this equation. The brother is Johnny Drama.
Right.
The Kevin Dillon character, and the speaker is Vinny, the actual.
You know what? I am proud that I did not know the answer to that, except for the show. Moving on, back to Dave.
Dave.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think my idiot brother could bring shame upon our very messy Calabasas family with social media drama involving his child's mother, but he found a way, and his spinoff's probably dead too. I'll give you a hint because you're not going to get this
Jesus.
Anyway. It's not a scripted show.
Yeah, well, I figured that one out. Can you read it one more time?
You wouldn't think my idiot brother could bring shame upon our very messy Calabasas family with social media drama involving his child's mother, but he found a way, and his spinoff's probably dead, too.
Yeah. Nope, I'm out.
Okay. Do you want a hint?
No.
You really don't. Speaking of not wanting to know the answer to this, I believe it's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yes.
The idiot brother is Rob, yes. And... pick your Kardashian or Jenner. Let's go with Khloe.
There you go.
Who else is going
to? Calabasas?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, with a K.
Dan.
Yeah.
My idiot brother actually thinks he knows more about grief than me, even though he just fucked off to work at a food co-op or something, and I am actually a funeral director.
Wow.
6 feet Under.
Yes.
The show. And I'm going to say Peter is one of the two people.
So close.
There's no Peter. Nate is the fuck up brother. The funeral director who is speaking is David.
Nate is played by Peter Krause, though. So
that's correct. Yes. So there is a Peter, close. I guess. You're right.
I will point out that I never watched a full episode of that show.
Well, that's pretty good osmosis then. All right, Sarah.
Bad. Yeah.
My idiot brother needs to quit embarrassing our father with his antics. Our dad has enough problems maintaining his status as a town doctor since that fancy New York brain surgeon showed up.
Oh, geez. This television program is Everwood. What were their names? Okay, I'm sorry. Can you read the last bit of it again?
Our dad has enough problems maintaining his status quo as the town doctor since that fancy New York brain surgeon showed up.
Okay, just wanted to confirm that the idiot brother is Bright.
Yep.
And I believe the speaker is... fuck. What was her actual name? Her name is like always Emily, but I don't think it was Emily. Let's go with Emily.
Amy! So close.
And her bangs of sadness.
And her bangs of sadness. Well, all right.
I will take the 2 points.
Final score break. Everyone has 1 question left.
All right.
Ooh.
This game is over. Sarah has 19. I have 12. Dan has 6.
Very good.
Really? Wow.
Let us play our last questions just for funsies. Dave.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My idiot brother probably didn't have much chance at success in life when our parents named him after a 60s icon who went on to be Melissa Etheridge's sperm donor.
Let's go with the brother.
The speaker, you mean?
Okay.
Adam, Sarah, or Julia?
Nope.
Sarah?
I
know you know that one.
David Crosby is the... sperm donor.
Correct. It's Crosby from Parenthood.
Okay.
Did you know that, Dan? See what I mean? Sometimes it's like, you know that show? Anyway, sorry.
All right.
You watch TV.
Well, let's see how much he watches with this one.
Uh-oh.
This is for Dan. My idiot brother may have distinguished himself as an army medic, but his subsequent drug addiction and affair with our sort of sister were, well, distinguished is not the word.
Speaking of Emily Van Camp.
Yeah.
Give me a clue of the show, please.
The show is Brothers and Sisters.
And I still don't have a clue, so let's move on to Sarah, shall we?
All right. The brother is Justin, sibling Sarah, Kitty, Tommy, Kevin, or I guess that other one, question mark. Moving on, Sarah, here's your final question.
I guess that other one. Rebecca.
Okay. My idiot cousin, not brother. Okay. Has both inconvenienced and enriched my life since he moved to Chicago from Meepos.
Perfect Strangers. The idiot cousin is Balky. And who is the cousin who is speaking? Mark Lynn Baker? What was the guy's name? Andy? I don't know.
Cousin Larry.
Larry!
All righty. That is it. What is our final score, please, Dave?
In third place, bronze medal, it's Dan with 6.
Ooh,
silver to me with 12. And gold, ooh, decisive gold, to Sarah with 21 points.
Well done, Sarah D. Bunting. Shall we play the tiebreaker for shits and giggles?
Sure.
All right.
Good game, by the way.
Thank you so much. This one was, I saved it for last, just for you. God. My idiot brother sure adjusted fast to our mom's new love interest. All the guy had to do was make us some huevos rancheros.
Homeland.
Uh-huh.
The speaker is Dana and the brother is, oh no, it's not Mike. Mike made the huevos rancheros. Chris.
Yes, yes, and yes. Congratulations,
Sarah.
That one
is for you, John Ramos.
Sarah.
Non-regulation. It's where I'm a Viking.
Well, that is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We gave you the down low on the Supernatural investigation series from Rob Lowe before going around the dial with stops at Insecure, The News, The Prophet, and The X-Files. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Sarah was a winner of this week's Game Time. Remember...
We're listening.
I am David Tickle, and on behalf of Tara Ariano, Sarah D. Bunting.
Oh, you took mine, but your mom's a wood ape.
And Dan Patrick Brady.
Bigfoot.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Great.
That was crazy. Doesn't mean anything, but it was crazy.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.